Almighty God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence this morning, knowing that we need thy help. Lord, as we hear the rain outside, so we need the outpouring of thy Spirit in our hearts this morning. Lord, we truly need to know thy presence and thy power in this day, and thy blessing on our homes, in every aspect of life. And Lord, as we begin a brief series on finance and the home and how to deal with our money and how to consider it, we pray, O God, that thou wilt give us great wisdom. Bless our time together. Give us hearts to believe and to obey thy word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. For those of you who may not know me, as one here does not know me very well, others maybe know me too well, and that's why we have fewer here. My name is Doug Greeley. I have an investment company. I've been in finance and banking for 36 years, so that puts me older than most of you, or many of you, not all of us. But it qualifies me really for nothing. I've got some experience. I've done a lot of workouts and restructures for companies. I've done a lot of family counseling. We were just lightheartedly talking just before we went online here. Most people won't take what we deal with in the realm of money very seriously until they hit the wall, until they're out of money, till the home's nearly wrecked and racked with ruin and financial ruin almost as well. And then they come looking for the magic bullet that will fix things, that will heal the home, heal the finances, take care of everything. Then we'll go on our merry way and repeat the same mistakes that we made to get ourselves where we started from or ended up in. My experience has been one of that. I owned a business in Maine for many years. Things went well for a long time. And then we hit 30% unemployment. So if you think South Carolina's as high, our county had 30% unemployment. Own a retail business where people have no money and see how far you get. We made it 4.5 years down the road. The Lord delivered a buyer and delivered us to Greenville. I will intersperse this class. I've got the class, Lord willing, for the next 3 weeks, this and two more Sundays. So I guess you would know, going from riches to poverty. You've gone from Pastor Cairns to me. Now you can deal in the realm of poverty this next 3 weeks. Most people that have known that I was going to teach the class have come to me and said, we really look forward to getting some good tips from you. Well, you're not going to get any. This isn't about X's and O's. This isn't about balance sheets and spreadsheets. And there will be some of that come into the class as we have questions. And by the way, I want you to get my email address if you have questions. I don't want this classroom to become a forum to air out laundry or to expose things you don't want exposed. If you've got a question that's a very private question, send it to me. It will never be revealed from whom it came, and we will go from there. We'll try to answer the question in the class. I told Steve Ludwig I was going to use him as an example. I will. He'll be pleased with it, I think. But before we get into too much storytelling, or more particularly the meat of the class, let me just cover some things, three things that I want to deal with in this class. They come as a result of some discussion with some of the people who attend this class, others who come to my office, others who just meet me in the hallway. We make a lot of assumptions about Well, the fact that we're Christians, we know what to do. Well, we may have all the jargon. We may know everything to say. And so when we shake somebody's hand and they ask us how things are going, they're going great. And in the background of your home, things are not going great. There's not enough money. Somebody's made some foolish financial decisions. There may be other things, but there's nothing like money to destroy and bring tension into a home. I submit to you that is largely due to some very poor thinking that has been propagated by the presses of the world. Now, there are some good things out there. You've got, if you've seen the billboards around, you see this guy, Dave Ramsey. Everybody, you ever heard of Dave Ramsey? I've heard of him. I've even been told I look like him. I act like him. I have a hairstyle like him. By the way, it took me a long time to part my hair this morning. But Dave Ramsey's got a billboard that says, "Act Your Wage." Well, there's a lot of practical stuff. How many people don't know that? Have you not already heard that? Live within your means. Well, we're going to try to go way beyond that and get down to what is God's will for us in handling what He has given us. Let's deal with the fact that everything we have, the body we have, the sight we have, the homes we have, the cars, everything that we have is of the Lord. Our lives ought to be lived in the light of the fact that everything we have, everything that we are, that we take for granted, is from the Lord. And everything ought to be consecrated back to the Lord. Everything. So when people come and say, "Well, do you think we should give 10% of gross or 10% of net or what percent? Or how should we handle these things?" I don't think one man can tell another man what God's will for that man is. You can know the will of God for your own self. And in this day, you've got to know that God is dwelling richly in your homes in the realm of finance. You've got to know the power of God, the blessing of God, the leading of God on your pocketbook, on your purse. And that everything that you have then will be blessed because the Lord is able to multiply that which you have. You may not have much. I've known people who have had next to nothing that have the richest home lives on earth because they have the Lord dwelling richly amongst them in their home. Now that's where we hope to get. You know, you could get real subjective about this and you could start in about what the husband's role is and what the wife's role is. But we're going to deal with just some passages of Scripture this morning. By the way, if my email address is not in the book, it's degreeley1@juno.com. But look it up. I see you were out in the sun, too. There are a lot of sunshine people here today. Daniel Overly's got a clear demarcation on his face. Please use that address. That's a secure address. And I will take any questions. Some of them may not be able to be answered in this room. But we want to take this very seriously. We're going to have some fun, too. We'll laugh about some things. But we're going to enjoy getting to know what it means to have the blessing of God upon the purse and upon the home. Let's turn first to Psalm 34. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you that I have thought of this class for several weeks. Mr. Cairns asked me several weeks ago to take the 29th. I think the first Sunday you had this class, he mentioned that the 29th of March I would be having the class. In the will of God, as I studied for this and I was trying to figure out how to get it all in. Well, now we know. We have 3 weeks. I hope you'll come back. But we are going to deal with the head of the home. We're going to deal with couples and families, and we're going to deal with the local church and beyond when it comes to our money and what the Lord has for us. As I studied for this class and as I was praying over things, I must tell you, I have wept much, and if I weep much here, bear with me. Because much of this is very personal. Much of this is where the Lord has touched my own heart in life in times past and even times current. I've sat in my office with couples and with individuals and wept with them as they have sat there broken before God as to how to recover from the mess that they're in. I've dealt with businesses where men have wept. I've had men in situations that have multiple locations of business. And you sit there and you tell them the truth about their business, and that's all you can do. You try to be kind about it, but the facts are what they are. And therefore, you must deal with the facts. You cannot make good decisions without the facts. Good morning. I was worried about you. Mark and I go a long way back, and I was going to chide him about backsliding, but since he's sitting right in front of the podium here, I won't do that to him. But I have wept much with these people. I had this one man in this multiple location business, and I was giving him the facts of his business. And the pages that I handed to him were soaked with the fear that was in his heart about his business, because the truth is there. He's a man of God, says he believes in the Lord, trusts the Lord. I believe he does. But as we prayed, the Lord came down and met with him and gave him the light of the truth of the Word of God. As we went through his business, we got the business sold. Praise the Lord. He needed that business gone. He was not a man who should be running a business. Most of the problems that come in the home come from the husbands. Now, you husbands can take that up with me after the class. I can run pretty fast still for my age. Let's turn to Psalm 34, please. This psalm was used in my own life and heart, and much of what I've got to say is going to be based upon my own experience of being in financial difficulty with the business. I'll give you some background of my coming here with 5 children, a wife, and no job. The Lord led us here. So there's a lot to be said. We hope we get it covered. Psalm 34, we'll read the whole psalm. But there's one place you'll know that the Lord's touched my heart. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. If I could emphasize anything in this class and get it home and do it today, I'd be delighted, and I'd say we wouldn't need to meet from here on in. But that is to know the power and the blessing of God in your home. And to know when you read this book that this word speaks to your heart personally. Don't let yourself get into a place of trial that is so deep that then you start searching the pages of Scripture for the answers. You've got to seek the Lord now. And some of you may already be in deep trouble. I don't know. But I do care. And in the inimitable words of our senior Dr. Barrett, I'm not going to tell you to read your Bible and get over it. I'm going to tell you to read your Bible until the Lord meets with you. Because as husbands in the home, you need to know the leading of the Lord in your own life to be the husband that you ought to be in every aspect. We won't go over the things that have been dealt with by Dr. Cairns. I have listened to those tapes. I guess they're not tapes anymore. I have listened to those sermons online. It's dating myself, aren't I? I come from the days before tapes. So the matter that you have heard from him, the teaching that you've received from him, how many of you here could say you didn't know any of it? Or you didn't know most of it? And yet you're here because you perceive there is a need that is so great in your own hearts and homes. I'm glad to see that we've got the young ones coming in as well, because that's going to be part of what we deal with this morning. If we could just understand that the Lord does give answers, we need to be in the house of God on the Lord's day. We need to be here on the night of prayer meeting. But if our houses, our homes are going to be heaven on earth, then the only way to have heaven on earth is to have Christ in the home and have him dwelling richly in us. And then we can lead our children. We can lead our young. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. One of the most striking examples, I think, of what I'm trying to say is lodged in this passage of Scripture. Now, we'll start right from the very first verse. But I want you to see something here in this passage that I think will bring it home. And trust that the Lord will, by His Spirit, take it to your heart and make it a lesson for your own home. 2 Chronicles 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against us, against thee, from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them, and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. This is the substance of this passage. There's all the embodiment of the truth, the promise of God to his people. Here are all the things. Here's what you wouldn't let us do to the enemy. We could have destroyed them. They might not be upon us. But here they are. Sudden fears come. This is something they weren't planning on. And this is the part where in your homes I want you to get the lesson, because I've lived this and seen the Lord deliver. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. That's where you need to be. If there's ever a lesson in the home, some of you aren't married yet. Some of you are newly married. Some of you have been married a while. Some of us have been married longer than you've lived. That's okay. Thankfully, that is true. But before you get yourself into the hole, and some of you may have lots of money, some of you may have no money, some of you may be in between, some of you may be buried in debt, some of you may have no debt. But God is Jehovah, and he does deliver his people. And therefore, before you make decisions that will ruin you, or you start, as Dr. Karen said in his 4.5-minute question and answer, don't steal. Don't borrow money you can't pay back. Don't go out and use credit cards and buy things that you have no idea of how you're going to go and pay for them. But there's a lot of that going on. But I say to you, if you're already there and you're in a mess, we'll work on those things. If you're not there yet, I've told a lot of people, it's just not your time yet. And that may or may not be true. But when I'm dealing with men of the world, I know it is true, because they're going to get themselves into a mess at some point in their lives, and they're going to deal with deep trouble. There are men of God who are in deep financial difficulty, maybe because of a lack of job, maybe because of an insufficient income to carry what once was easy to carry for a load. The Lord is able to deliver. But the one privilege that you have now is to learn now that you have children that you're raising up. If you can learn to teach them how to handle what they have, and that everything that they are and everything that they have and everything that they will be is from God and is of God and under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the whole key to the matter. And hopefully in these 3 weeks we'll deal with some of the issues. We'll also deal with some of the what I hope to cover. But I'm not so worried about, I was greatly concerned. I had all these notes, and every time I turned around, something else would pop up. Ah, boy, I could go that direction. This morning about 5:30, everything was going well. I had it planned. And the Lord came down and met and said, you've got to change your plans a little bit. We're going to cover all this, but you need to change your plans a little bit. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Where to be content with such things as we have. And how often we in this day imbibe, and we have taken what I call the secularized view of finance and brought it into the home. And how many people here have heard and believe, don't raise your hand on that part of it, that you've got to have a good credit score. Well, you ought to have a good credit score, but not for all the reasons that the world's telling you ought to have a good credit score. The credit score means that you pay your bills. And you do handle credit, if you use it, rightly. There's nothing wrong with indebtedness, as long as it's intelligent indebtedness. Now that is a business realm term. But in buying a home, how many people can just go out and pay cash for a home? Very few. But do you make any effort to prepay and pay down and get rid of that burden so that what you have is free to use for other things? Not for yourself. Everything that we have ought to be for the most efficient and effective and highest use of the service of God. I could go on and on. I have a list of things I could go down through, and I could bore you to death with all the financial stuff, but the cameraman, we'll not use his name over the World Wide Web, told me the other day that what we don't need is a bunch of terminology and lots of information that will boggle the mind and do no earthly good in the home. And that is very true. I've gone a while, so if you have any questions, if you have anything you'd like to bring up right now, and if you don't, we'll continue on. But if you do, I'd be glad to entertain at this point so you can at least get a break from listening to me. I'm going to deal with something that I trust will bless your hearts. I grew up in a small town in rural Maine. There really are no big towns in urban Maine. The biggest town is 100,000 people. My town was 500 people, an agrarian town. For those of you who don't know what that means, you city folk, that means it's a farm area. Very beautiful area. 6 miles from the coast, 6 miles from Belfast, Maine. A wonderful place to be, except this time of year. From December till April, you can wade around in snow. I talked with my parents this weekend. They still have 40 to 50 inches on the level of snow. So spring is coming. It's beginning to melt. They're hearing the rivulets as we speak. Those of you from the north understand. If you've been in the north, you know what deep snow is. But in that town, I realize now, at 58 years of age, how greatly blessed I was with the people of God that lived in that town, a humble people. They didn't have much of the world's goods. I think that's why they were so happy. They weren't worried about money. They planted their gardens, they cut their firewood, they slaughtered a pig or a cow. And in the store business, I actually got to cut them up for them. I was a meat cutter of some description. I recall a statement made by an old man. He wasn't quite as, he died at 94 or 5. Everybody in that town lives to be pretty old, because they don't have any stress. They don't wear ties and choke the blood flow off to the brain and deal with all the money issues. And they were poor perpetually in terms of dollars and cents. But this man said when he was young, his father used to say, if I had $50 in the bank and a pig in the larder, we can make it through the winter. Now, I don't think $50 would get us through the day anymore, which is a sad commentary. But that's by design of our Federal Reserve and our federal government. And it will not get better. If you listen to Dr. Karen's Q&A on the economy, he's right, partially. And that's not to criticize him, but he's understated the issues. What we're facing is going to be very difficult. And what we're going to be dealing with in the next 2 or 3 weeks will hopefully provide some answers and some direction for all of us, because we are a family. We are a local church body. And as you look around you in the church service, don't do it in this class, and you see people, got to realize everybody's got needs and everybody's got issues and everybody has a need. Not everybody has a need for money, but they may have other needs. They have needs for spiritual guidance in other areas. It may be in the realm of money what to do with an excess of money. Wouldn't that be a rare case? I had a neighbor couple who led me into the doctrines of grace. I was an ardent, strident idiot and an Arminian idiot to go with it. Free will to the core, and fought them in ignorance. But they were very gracious and humble people. The subject isn't Arminianism versus Calvinism. It was about godliness. This is a couple from New York City who moved to very rural Maine. They moved into the metropolis of Morrill, Maine, of 500 people, from a very rural area. Converted Roman Catholics. I have memories of many families in that town, which I will not regale all the memories, but I want you to get a sense of what it means to live under the headship of Christ and know the leading and the power of God to deliver in times of great need, because He is able. Speaking of needs, I'm going to stop there for a second and refer to something. Two stories. Stephen may remember the second story. He certainly will remember the first. He was getting ready to go to Turkey. Almost said Iraq, but he didn't fight there. And in that move, we were moving furniture into the upper level of the Farr's home. I think Jill was still at home at the time. And we got to the top of the stairs, and Paul Schlemgen and I were moving a couch. And we got to the door. We moved that couch 100 times. We couldn't get that thing through the door. I got a lesson, though, in always being ready to seek the Lord's help. Stephen stopped and he said, "Wait a minute, boys. Let's ask the Lord to help us." We bowed our heads to pray. I don't even think we moved that couch 6 inches. It almost fell in the room. The door didn't get wider, but we did seek the help of God. I told a story at lunch the other day at the finest dining establishment in Greenville, Taco Casa. A little plug for them, just so everybody will know. Not Rick Irwin's, by the way. When Carol and I were first married, we were working in a hotel. I was, not surprisingly, doing the financial work, and my wife was working the front desk. One Saturday I went to work. Our car wasn't running well. We had spent all of our money. We filled the car with gas. We bought the groceries we needed for the week, and we had not a dime left. Nothing in the bank. Nothing anywhere. But we were, you know, we were dumb. We were young and foolish and 22 years old, and I was. She was younger. And happy as could be, just going along. And then the car was giving a little trouble, and I thought, well, I can work on the car, and the more I worked on it, the worse it got. So I stopped working on it. Sometimes that's the best thing. As I was driving to work on a Saturday morning, the thing was really giving me trouble, so I pulled into this garage out in front of the hotel. And I went in to see the owner, and I said, "May I leave my car here? It's not running well. In fact, could you look at it and give me some indication of what it would cost to fix it?" He said, "Yes, I will." So mid-morning, I called him, And he got back to me and he said it was going to be $15 to $17. It didn't sound like much now, does it? But it was a lot of money then, especially when you have absolutely not a thing. But I forgot to tell you one important part of the story. I left the car, I walked down through this little gully, up through the parking lot, and in the parking lot was a wet dollar bill. So I dried it off and looked around to see who might have dropped it. It'd been there a long time. Put it in my pocket, went into the hotel, got the answer from the mechanic. I said, I can't pay that. I don't have the money. I just want you to know. If you work on it, I won't be able to pay you. He said, well, that's honest enough. Let me just tell you, use my tools and you'll work on the car. I said, well, I've already messed it up enough. I don't know what else to do. I got off work at 4, walked back over there, and I had the hood up. And this kid comes in a sports car, and it's got a big scoop on the hood, and it's just running fine. You know how a good car sounds when it's running well. And he just purrs right in, shuts it off, and he says, what's your problem? And I tell him, I really don't have a clue. I said, I think it's the fuel filter, but I'm not sure. He said, well, crank it. I did. He said, shut it off. So he starts tearing it all apart. I'm thinking, oh, no. He runs in. I said, wait a minute. I'm off the clock yet. He said, I got a clock in, but he said, I'll do this and just help you if I can. So he runs out, runs in, runs back out, puts it back together, fired it up. Runs like a top. I said, that's great. I saw you put a part in there. How much will that cost? He said, $1. The Lord takes care of his people. That's what I want you to understand, that the Lord does take care of his people, whether rich or poor. Now let's go to the couple that lived across the road from me. I got a lesson in giving from them. These people had no visible means of support except as they refinished furniture, they caned chairs, but they owned everything they had, which was not much. Most of the furniture they had, they refinished. It was on the trash heap. It looked like it belonged in Tiffany's. It was beautiful. Their home was well kept. Their home happened to be my old two-room schoolhouse that I went to. And they had refinished the downstairs of it. It was beautiful. They lived very simply. And Frank said to me one day, we were talking about money and I was talking about the difficulties, and he said, I want you to understand something. And you got to understand, these are New Yorkers. He's a very kind New Yorker. She is a very typical New Yorker. And if anybody's from New York, I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't be. You're here instead. He started talking about the money situation and the giving. And I said, Frank, sometimes I don't even know how to give 10% when I don't have 10% to give. And he said, it's not about that. He said, you won't find 10% in the New Testament anyway, but it's everything that you have. He said, when I was first saved, Joan and I both came to Christ at the same time, in the same service. Joan immediately started giving to the Lord because she realized she had been purchased by the blood of Christ. You're not your own. As he went on to say about how they were giving, he said, I thought she was going to give us into the poorhouse. And at that point, she was cooking. She's an Italian. She was cooking. Boy, she could cook. She turned around and she said, Frankie, you know you can't outgive God. Turned around, kept stirring her pot. That's all she said. That's very true. Their lives were a living example of the blessing of God upon a home. Frank came to me one day and said, I want you to pray with us. He was doing this for my good, not so much for his, because he knew what the Lord was going to do for him. He came to me and he said, I want you to pray for us. We have a need. Our taxes are coming due, and we have a need. And I said, okay, how big is the need? And he said, I'd rather not say, but just pray that the Lord will meet our needs. The next morning, I went outside, and across the street was a, you'll remember the refinished furniture, and they did a wonderful job. They were professional refinishers. He would order wood from Africa and South America to refinish things. And when he got done, it was like it was just showroom. There was a trailer full of furniture, and I walked over, and he's just standing there looking at it. And I said, "Frank, what's happened?" He said, "Well, the windows of heaven have opened, and the Lord has answered." He said, "This man has just brought this load of furniture in here by referral of somebody that I know. This man has got three more trailer loads of furniture for me to work on, and he's given me $2,000 deposit to start." He said, "That's what I needed." Now, is there a God in heaven who can meet the need in the home? I want you to begin to rely upon the Lord. I want you to see that God will come down. For you who aren't married yet, as you and you may never be married. Who knows what the Lord will have for you? But those of you who've been married longer, the Lord is able to answer. He's able to give you those things that you have need of. The dollar bill in the parking lot, the load of furnishing to be refinished. I hope you all have a testimony of that. I want you to all know and show your children that there is a heritage from God. One of the things of living in the city, and I realized how greatly blessed I was to grow up in a small town, everybody knew everybody. That meant you knew whose check was good and whose wasn't. You knew everything about them. But you also knew their needs because you lived with them. You were around them all the time. In a church even our size, we don't really know each other. Not in the sense that we ought to know each other. We're so spread out from Lawrence to Marietta and maybe further, I don't know. At least to Traveler's Rest, right? Marietta's beyond the scale of things. I walked into a building one day and somebody was asking where Marietta was. They'd never heard of Marietta, South Carolina. Well, I happen to live there, so it is on the map. I live up with my people. They're all poor, and I fit right in. And they are the ones who got fleeced by these recent disasters in the mortgage business. I've talked a lot this morning, but I've tried to emphasize the Lord in the home, to know the leading of God in the household, to know His presence and power and blessing personally. We who have jobs, and we go to, and by the way, I don't have a job. I have a company, but that doesn't mean I work very hard. Think about your paycheck, and you think about, if I lost my job, what have you really lost? You've lost the job, but have you lost the blessing of the Lord? Because the paycheck itself is the blessing of God. The company that you work for only exists because God has put His hand upon it to exist, possibly even for you to have a job. If that goes away, is there something else? I could go on about our lives and the being without work, without money for 2.5 years. We have 5 children. And we have now 8 grandchildren and a 9th one on the way. But I thank God that the Lord allowed my children to see the heritage passed down through that small town. But we've seen times without any income. Times there were 2.5 years when we didn't have enough income to pay for health insurance and 5 children. I don't think one of our kids blew their nose the whole 2.5 years. Never was a minute's sickness. Is the Lord able to take care of His people? I encourage you that He is. I told you this wasn't about X's and O's. This is about relying upon the Lord to see the blessing in the home. And those of you who have excess money, thank God for it. But consider what He will have you do with it. Because there are times when you walk around and you may not know a need. Pray that God will put a need upon your heart, a family on your heart, to give them something. And don't, most of the time, don't let them know. Give it to somebody else to give to them. Tim Farr is very good at that. So that other people will have need, and I will say only that the Lord's put that on my heart from time to time. And then you hear back through Tim, who is wonderful to have around. Glad his daughter's not in here, because I don't want to brag on him too much. But Tim's very discreet. But he'll come back to you and say, you wouldn't believe what this meant for need. Consider the things of others. If you have over and above, don't build barns to store it in, because that'll go away. I can tell you, it's like putting it in a bag with holes. You won't have it long. But the Lord is able to meet every need. Well, we've just, I feel like Dr. Cairns. I've just covered the first quarter of a page. What is the whole duty of man? Somebody tell me. Chief end of man is to what?
Glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
Exactly, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. If you want a book on the lesson of life, read Ecclesiastes. I brought my Bible from my office. I've done that because in my office, many people come and are seeking answers, many of them unsaved. And I have marked up, for the saved, I have marked up the book of Ecclesiastes in this work Bible. And I go through and remind myself again and again, and we heard last week we're to talk to ourselves. Yes, we are. We got to preach ourselves a sermon. Years ago, Pastor David Brehm came to my house when we were in the depths. He didn't come because he knew anything about us. He'd never met us. This was in 1986. He was up visiting his brother-in-law in a couple of towns over in Maine. And he said then, as he was speaking and encouraging in the things of the Lord, I said, boy, that's wonderful. It must be nice to live in that. And he said, I have to preach that to myself about every other day. How true it is. Pastor Cairns said Sunday, we need to talk to ourselves. Funny story, somebody asked a southern gentleman, he was kind of losing his grip a little bit. And the people in the white coats were hovering around the fences. And one of them asked one of the servants, if he noticed he talked to himself. And he says, yeah, he talked to himself. He says, well, what does he say to himself when he's by himself? He said, I don't know, man. He said, I've never been with him when he's been by himself. The light dawns at Marblehead, Ajay. Ecclesiastes 13, 5 and 6. And then we're going to go to a passage which is familiar, and most of you know it by heart, but I want you to remember it. And we're going to close with it, I trust, every week, so it'll be ingrained again. Ecclesiastes 13, not 13. I've got Hebrews here, but it's Ecclesiastes 12. Let's go to the Ecclesiastes 12. 13 will be hard to find. Let's go to verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That is, if you take a study on the fear of God and look at obedience, fear leads to obedience. And then we're not talking about servile fear, we're talking about a true reverence for the holiness and the sovereignty and the love of God for His people. Let's go to Psalm 23. If you don't know this by heart, I was 5 years old when I started learning this. I was also 5 years old when I learned some of Matthew 6. Instill the Word of God in the hearts of your children. And learn that the benefit of that will pay dividends. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Sometimes I tell people that doesn't mean in between years they won't depart some. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, there are some intervening years when you'd like to string them up. But anyway, I realize this is over the World Wide Web. Psalm 23. You all know this by heart, probably, but let's not assume anything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Let me interject, go through this psalm, and think about what this means to your own life. He restoreth my soul. If you don't know these things, learn them. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Here's the clincher. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can stand here before you as God is my witness, and I have known that surely the goodness and mercy of God shall follow me all the days of my life. As I look over my life, have there been hard times? Have there been the times of destitution in financial realm? Absolutely. But I stand before you today to say that the Lord will bring you through these things. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for those represented here today. We thank Thee, O God, for the family of God, for brothers and sisters in Christ who love Thee and want to serve Thee. And Lord, we pray that something out of all that has been said this morning, Lord, forgive me for the failure that would be contained within, but may there have been a message for the heart for each and every one here from something that has been said to encourage the people of God to look unto God. David at Ziklag, O Lord, Thou gavest the record of it. He arrived with the city burned to the ground and all that he had, including his family, gone. And yet he encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he went and pursued and recovered all. Lord, there may be much recovering needing to be done in this small representation here. Lead us, we pray. Bless us in the next service. Lord, meet with us. Give us Thy Spirit to the full, and help us to know the blessing of God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.